Good morning, sir. What is your name, sir?
Christopher McCurdy.
Okay, sir. If you could just hold on for one moment, we will move forward with your hearing. I trust that this is a good day for you and along with Mr. Johnson. Is that And if you would pass that sheet to the board. And I need to make one phone call, I believe. Am I correct, sir?
Yes.
I need to make one phone call, and I'll just go ahead and make that phone call while the Honorable Mr. Johnson is getting his paperwork together. And once I get that phone call, then we'll be ready. Yes, may I speak with Ms. Bennett, please?
Yes, this is she.
Yes, this is the Arizona Board of Executive Currency. It's our understanding that you wish to participate in the hearing this morning for Mr. McCullen. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, if you can hold on, the hearing is just about getting ready to get started, and the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson will call on you at the appropriate time. So thank you so very much, and welcome to the Arizona Board of Executive Currency this morning.
Okay. Thank you.
The next request that we all will hear will be that of the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, who will conduct this hearing this morning.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you this morning? Mr. McCullen? Kieran?
Oh, I'm doing fine, sir. How are you doing?
Good, good. Sir, could you please state your full name, your ADC number for us for the record?
Yes, Christopher Don McCullen. 098643.
Okay, so you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Currency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing today. You have the Honorable Luis Quinones to my far left. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Neal. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. To my immediate left, you have the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be your hearing this morning, okay?
Yes, sir.
So you're appearing before this board for an absolute discharge, home arrest, or regular parole. Is that your understanding of your hearing today, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So looking at your sheet, and I would tell you that I looked at this for quite a while and didn't quite figure it all out, but are you currently serving a lifetime sentence for murder in the first degree, three consecutive sentences?
Yes, sir.
What's your current sentence that you understand?
I was given a 36-year sentence under 65%, a 21 and a 15, one in consecutive.
Okay, because I was looking at this sheet and I didn't quite figure it out, but you were given several sentences that are running concurrent, but you also have three concurrent life sentences that all go back to AO3, in which you should be still on, that you would have those three life sentences that you are still serving.
No, I was on death row for three sentences, but those sentences were overturned and dismissed, and I went back on the trial and I was found not guilty.
Okay. I'm just going by the sheet that I'm looking at is still showing those, and I did see where you did have an appeal, but I didn't see where the sentences were actually overturned. But I'm going to just keep moving forward and go from there, okay? According to your institutional progress report, sir, it looks like you've taken quite a bit of programming with the reentry programming you took in 2018. Moderate program you took in 17, you took some other programs in 16, you also took some computer tech and HVAC programs. Yes. You can't hear, sir?
No, I can't hear that good.
Okay, why don't you see if you can grab the CO3 to see if there's something on your end that they can turn up the volume.
Excuse me?
Can you get your CL3 to see if you can come in there? Maybe there's something on your end that you can hear. Maybe can you hear this?
Okay.
global SUVs?
Right, it put her in the way future.
Yeah.
Why would this be an A?
Which one?
Hello, can you hear us now, sir?
Hello?
No, ma'am, we're talking to him. You listen to him, ma'am.
Oh,
okay, can you hear us now, sir? I cannot see that. I can't see that whole sign. Can you move it over a little bit? Yeah, okay, hold it back down. 520-364-7521, extension
3484848.
Okay, so we're going to call you back on the phone, and we'll go from there. So, Mr. Johnson, would you, because we have someone on the phone, could you assist us in getting this one on the phone for us, sir?
Ms. Bennett?
Yes.
Could you just hang on? Don't hang up. We're going to connect another call up to the phone, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Hello, you have reached the Arizona State Prison Complex in Douglas. If you know your party's extension number, you may dial it at any time during this message.
You cannot be transferred to this number. Check the number and try again.
Hello, you have reached the Arizona State Prison Complex in Douglas. If you know your party's extension number, you may dial it at any time during this message.
4848. Wait while I transfer your call.
Okay.
All right, is that better, sir?
That's better.
Okay. Excuse me. Ms. Bennett, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Okay, sir, can you hear me any better now?
Yes, I can hear you locked in, sir.
Okay, thank you. So, sir, according to your institutional progress report, if you were released, you would go to a Loneside Ministry, Christian Halfway House, where they have counseling and Bob, and you would work with Swisher during HVAC here in Phoenix. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and according to your progress report that I have here, you had one citation. Your last citation was back in 2014 for disobeying a verbal. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm looking at your AIMS report, sir. Looks like this incident that occurred back in 2014 involved the incident where you were yelling at someone about getting your tray. Is that right? You want to tell me a little bit what that was about?
Oh, that incident was when we were at Winslow. We were coming off a lockdown. I think we were locked down for like 6 months for some assaults that happened in the kitchen. And my cellie was going to school, and he was like, "You can have my tray." And he said it right in front of the officer, and the officer was like, "Well, when you come around and get your tray, you can get his other tray," because we were having styrofoam trays and we were going back to our assigned areas because the jail was still closed. So as I got his tray and I was going back to my assigned area, they said, "Oh, you need to throw that tray away." I was like, my cellie gave me this tray. And the officer was like, yeah, and cellie gave him the tray. And the sergeant lady was like, you need to throw that tray away. And her own officer was telling her that the tray was mine. And after the incident, I'm like, well, he just told you that this tray was given to me. And she called ICS, and that was my disobeying a direct order.
It looks like you was using a little bit of different language when you were talking to him, though. Is that right?
What? Excuse me?
Looks like you used a little bit of different language when you were actually talking to him.
Used different language when I was talking to the person who told me to throw away my tray? Yes, sir.
Yes, yes. He was cussing at him. Okay, right now, sir, you're about 47 years old?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and I'm also looking at your owner's report, and it still shows these three death sentences being active, so.
No, they're not active. I went to trial back in 1997. My lawyer was Richard Lucci. I went to trial again on those same, I got a new trial, and I was found not guilty.
Okay, well, I'm just it's still showing it active in here. You may want to straighten that out with your CO3, sir.
Yeah, I was just talking to him, and I'm pretty sure he could get up on the computer right now and just show that those are inactive.
Okay, sir, could you set up, because we're looking at the top of your head.
Oh, okay.
So did you belong to an STD while you were incarcerated, sir, at one time?
Excuse me, sir, did I do what?
Did you belong to an STD? Since
STG?
You
were in
a security threat group. A security threat group while you were in prison.
Yeah, I was, they labeled me as that when I was here at Mojave when I came back. I wrote the STG unit down at central office and asked them about that, and they said I've been labeled STG'd because of some documents that were found in my property at one time.
Uh-huh.
But like I explained to them, I have no tattoos of the AAC. I'm not associated with anyone from the AAC, and they haven't got back with me, but they gave me an override and sent me to the 2 yard.
Okay.
That was keeping me here at the 3 yard.
What's the AAC, sir?
The African American Coalition.
Okay, alrighty. To see that you haven't had that much of discipline since you actually been incarcerated. You've had some, but not as much in the amount of time that you actually been incarcerated. And,
I believe my last disciplinary ticket was in 2014, I believe.
Okay, well, I see one here that you had on October 9th of 2018 for a disrupting count that was informally resolved. What was that?
Oh, we were playing chess in the room, the day room, and they said it was count time, and everybody sitting there playing chess. I got up and turned off the lights. Dude said, "Don't turn off the lights. Get to your assigned area," and that was my ticket for disobeying a direct order. But when I seen the disciplinary officer, he was like, "That's not worthy of a ticket. I'm giving you a verbal reprimand just from now on. When you're told to lock down for count, don't touch anything, just go straight to your assigned areas."
Okay. So, sir, I see that you was before this board 5 separate times. You actually came the first time in 06 where you were granted parole to your next consecutive sentence, and then 16, you were denied home arrest or absolute discharge. Then it looks like in 2017, October 17, you were granted home arrest. And then 9 months later, on July of 18th of 2018, your home arrest was replicated, so revoked. So what was that about, sir?
My home arrest was revoked for me stopping, but I had permission to go to Tucson to get my license straightened out to the Tucson court. When I went to Tucson court, they said, "Well, you have to go to DMV to get your license reinstated." I went to the court to get my license reinstated. They said that was a violation from the court. I went to a Lucky Wishbone, to a park, and to back to Phoenix. And they said those were all violations for me detouring from my going straight to the courts.
Okay. So did you stop at a park and see someone at a park? Did you saw some friends or something at the park?
I stopped and spoke with someone at the park who I was told that was deceased. And when I seen him, it was just a surprise for me to see him. So yes, I did stop at the park and speak to the individual. They said for 15 minutes.
Now, according to where the park was and where you were supposed to be, Were they en route, or was the park out of the location where you're supposed to be at, sir?
It was out of the location where I was supposed to be at, because the place I was supposed to be at was the city court building only. I wasn't supposed to go to the DMV or go anywhere else. But like I said, this is my second parole officer, Stephen Butcher, and I didn't properly get the proper communication with him like I had with David Drew. And those lines of communication broke down on my part because I didn't establish them correctly, and those were the causes of my violations.
So the robbery that we're talking about, which you got incarcerated, happened back in 1992, where you and another gentleman allegedly entered into the rear door of a pizza parlor on a 5500 block of East Grant. You guys were wearing masks to conceal your identity along with gloves. One of you had a 25 automatic, the other one had a 380 automatic. Said that you held a 25 caliber semi and pointed it at the owner and announced hold up, and you held a 380 semi-automatic on the second door and arguing not to move. Said the first offender was the business owner, shot the business owner in the chest, and the other offender, who's holding the second victim at gunpoint, turned his 380 on the business owner and shot him 6 times. So, were you involved in that, sir?
Yes, sir.
And so what was going on with you during that period of time when you got involved in this robbery?
Lost in the world and being led by the wrong people.
So when you say lost in the world and being led by the wrong people, could you kind of explain that a little bit for me?
Yes, I was involved with an individual named Keith Ray Woods, and being led astray, being young, being led astray by him, a career criminal. I'd never been to prison before that time, and I got caught up with the wrong people.
So, sir, you were out, and you violated your parole and got it revoked. So, why is it that you think this board, why would you think that me as a member of this board should, again, allow you to be out on home arrest?
Well, home arrest for me was a good thing when I first got on home arrest, because it got me back into my pattern of going to church, going to work, and going straight home, and it was a help in that sense. But when I started getting used to being out, being free, getting familiar with my job, getting familiar with the area, it became a hindrance, because my job at HVAC Swisher, it's a lot of jobs that he has to go out of town, to go to Tucson, to go to Nevada, to go to California, to go to New Mexico, because he has all those jobs in those areas. So that became a hindrance. It also became a hindrance with me with the Wrong Side Ministries, because the Wrong Side Ministries take us on retreats to other Christian programs to help us grow spiritually and mentally and get in better contact with your children, and that was a hindrance. And I was in Phoenix, and it kind of hindered me because I wasn't allowed to go to Tucson to see my children or my grandchildren. So in that way, in one way it was a help, and another way it was a hindrance with the home arrest. But I adapted to it, I stuck to it, I never had any police contact on it, I never had any dirty UAs on it, I kept a job, I kept a steady residence, and I was being a productive citizen.
Can I say that you do have, you know, in time that you've taken quite a bit of programming, you have quite a few certificates that's in your file, you have some support letters that's in your file that are support letters in support of you. I remember your case when you came before this board and you was revoked, sir, and I remember your PO being in here, and the PO was telling the stories a little bit different than what you were as to what you were actually doing during that period of time. Didn't say you were actually doing something else, but it appeared that you were just out, just riding around, and you saw someone at the park and you stopped over there and you talked to them and then you went to get something else to eat, but clearly you were not keeping to your plan of actually what you had put down. So what's going to be different now if you were on home arrest?
Well, the difference now would be is that I've learned from my mistakes, and I've learned from the mistakes that I've made in the past, and the difference would just be that when I get my parole officer, whoever my parole officer would be, I would get the lines of communication properly established. Because like I said with David Vu allowed me to go to and from, and on my way to and from, if I needed to stop to use the restroom, I could. If I needed to stop and get gas, I could do that as well. And Stephen Butcher, he wasn't allowing me to do that. It was on, like he started me all over. I had David Vu for 4 months, I had one violation. I had Stephen Butcher for 2 months, and I had like half a dozen violations. But once again, that's my fault for not establishing the proper lines of communication.
So what's your understanding of home arrest and having to fill out the weekly itinerary, sir?
Excuse me?
What's your understanding of having to fill out the weekly itinerary? What's your understanding of that, regardless to who your PO is?
I understand it quite well, but I just look at it like I almost had the whole thing completed and accomplished with the home arrest until these violations of going to Tucson. I mean, home arrest to me would be like set me back and like set me up for failure once again. I mean, I don't have no major, I didn't commit any crimes. I didn't have no major violations, but detouring from my itinerary and regular parole would be something that would be more suitable for me to be successful on.
So at this point in time, are you telling me that you do not want to be on home arrest?
No, I'm not telling you that I don't want to be on it. I'm just saying that regular parole would fit me better. If my only choice is home arrest, then I have to accept what you offer me. And I'm pretty sure that I could complete home arrest, but it would be a challenge on my behalf. But life is full of challenges, and challenges are what strengthen.
Well, you said that if you were on home arrest, that would be setting you up for failure.
Home arrest and the ankle monitor are two different things, I do believe. The ankle monitor was...
The ankle monitor is part of home arrest.
Okay.
All right, so let me see if the board has any additional questions for you. Some no additional questions coming from the board, so you do have some supporters here.
That's
his name, his number. Okay. You have Ken Sheik and David Boston?
Baldwin.
Okay. You guys want to come up and speak to whoever want to come up first, just come up to the mic and state your name and present whatever information you'd like to present to the board.
Good morning. I am Ken Sheets, the Executive Director of Longside Ministries. And I've known Chris probably close to 7 years now while he was incarcerated at the North Union. That's where I first met Chris and got to know him at the church that we had there at the North Unit, and what he was part of as a leader, as a great example, one who was making a difference in a positive way on that North Unit. He did come out to us, and I stood before you last July with little Thomas Jackson. They both came out about the same time, and one crossed his T's and dotted his I's, and you let him off after 6 months. That was Thomas. My good friend here, Chris, he struggled with this this house arrest at times and didn't quite understand the complete complexity of it. We learned some things with Thomas and Chris coming out as a ministry, how to be better at guiding these men. I've learned how to be a better director because of what Chris has experienced and how I can add to his accountability. how not to let him go down to Tucson by himself at times, or whatever that itinerary may present itself. He did mention that because of that house arrest, he wasn't able to do all the things that we offer as a ministry. He had to stay home while others got to go out and experience some of the ministry that we were offering, some of that stuff, that programming that's important for recidivism, that he had to stick back and stay back. And that impacted him a little bit as well. So I have become a better director, and I can now say to you, I can provide a better accountability system for Chris, as if you so decide to let him come to us at this point in time. Either way, we're going to take him back. He's ours. We're going to stick with Chris. I've gone down to Douglas several times to meet with Chris and set up some things that I wanted to have him work on his character. There were some specific assignments that I gave him that I've had him contact him with the chaplains down there to see how he was doing. And he has been doing what I've asked him to do. So I'm pleased about that as well. So I love Chris, and I want the best for him. I still think we can help him the best, too. So
Mr. Sheets, you guys have had, you got a great program. Haven't you had other people there that's been on home arrest?
It's rare. Uh-huh. I tried to go back to the last time we had somebody on an ankle monitor, and it's been about 7 or 8 years since we had that. To have two at the same time it was a challenge for us to navigate that with them. How to get up to speed, they had two different parole officers. Man, they did things differently, to be honest with you. So we had to figure out both of them and how they were responding to itineraries, how to set those up correctly, get these guys going. At first, like you described, it went well. It was working. He was adjusting. But then as time went on, the freedom was there for him to make some choices. That's where he kind of got bogged down a little bit.
Okay. All right. The board have any questions? Mr. Cagnano?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I think Mr. Johnson was already touching upon this, but I do want to point out that since I've been sitting on the board, frankly, I think most of the members of this board, we've seen a fair number of diverse home arrest cases, and a lot of people have been able to adhere to their conditions. So it is a red flag when people can't adhere. We recognize it's challenging. It's been challenging for everyone. It's not like home arrest is simple for some people and challenging for others. It's consistently challenging. But
it is
a bit of a red flag, and I will say there have been, that I sat on the panel lead when we granted home arrest, so I'm bound to be on my guard right now as to whether or not I think he can be safely returned to the community. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Mr. Barton, are you going to speak?
No, he's not.
Okay. Ms. Patty Lavelle?
Christopher's aunt.
Okay, would you state your full name, please?
Patty J. Lovell.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
And I'm his aunt through marriage. His mother and my brother are married.
Okay. Go ahead and present any information you'd like to present to the board.
Yes, I would like to say that Chris has been doing pretty good. Everybody falters one way or the other, but you have to have the sense and knowledge to go the right way and not the wrong way. And he's had quite some deaths in his family within the last month.
Mm-hmm.
And that might have been a leader into it also, you know. Losing your loved ones is not nothing nice at all. So I think that if he's granted another chance, that he will be able to make it because he had a lot of family support. At the last hearing that he had, most of the room was filled up with family members, except for me, I was not here. But this time they're in jobs and in schools and stuff and they can't make it today.
Okay. Does the board have any questions? Okay, thank you, Ms. LaVoy.
You're welcome.
Okay, Mr. McCormick, is there anything else you'd like to say to the board before we go ahead and say,
you have Ms. Bennett.
I have Ms. Bennett on the line, and I also have a letter here from a victim. Ms. Bennett?
Yes.
Do you want to go ahead and present any information you'd like to present to the board at this time? Please state your full name and then present the information to the board.
Yes, you want me to state my full name?
Yes, ma'am.
Mary Ann Bennett.
Okay. And you want to go ahead and present any information you'd like to present to the board at this time?
Yes, I do. Mr. McCrimmon's aunt said something about losing that Christopher lost loved ones in the past month. I lost a loved one 27 years ago when he was shot. He was never the same person. My children never got to know the man that he was before he was shot. It impacted our life profoundly. We've had to do so many things differently in our lives. I don't know what our lives would have been had this not happened, but I'll never get to know. My husband, in a sense, and my whole family was incarcerated 27 years ago when this happened, incarcerated in a life that we didn't ask for and we didn't deserve. We didn't know Mr. McCrimmon. We didn't do anything to him, and we didn't deserve what happened. He made a choice. And he also made a choice when he was on house arrest to venture out of the area. It was a simple rule of house arrest not to venture out of a certain area. There's absolutely no excuse for that. And I have a question in my mind. How do you accidentally end up in a park with a person that you think is dead and automatically they're there? That raises a red flag to me. My husband had a birthday a few days ago, and he wasn't here to celebrate it. My children were here to celebrate it with me. All of this is bringing up old wounds. All of this discussion, going over and over this. Mr. McCrimmon made a choice as an adult years ago. He was strayed by the wrong people, but you still make choices. My husband's father died at the age of 11. He made all the right choices in his life. He did the right things. 27 years ago, the gavel went down, and Mr. McCrimmon was incarcerated. Why should he be released into the public now? Why? He doesn't have enough years in his life to serve for all the lives he's damaged. Not just one, not just my husband, but me and all of my children have had very profound residual effects. And the residual effects of the shooting ultimately ended my husband's life. And I can't bring him back. My life is completely different, so there's no door for me to walk through and go out into society and start over again. My life is what it is because of what happened. So I ask, as a voice for my husband, who can no longer speak for himself, I speak for him and for my children. Please, please, let Mr. McCrimmon serve out the rest of his term as he deserves. And let him work as an advocate for prisoners, if that's his calling, not out in the public.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Bennett. We're going to continue on with the hearing, and you're more than welcome to stay on, or if you have to disconnect, if you don't understand. I do want to make note that I do have a letter from Mr. Richard G., who is the brother, nephew, and employer of the three persons who were killed in the armed robbery. And I don't know, did you have the victim advocates have anything?
No, sir.
Okay. So I do want to make note of that that letter, we do have it on file, and there is a strong objection to any conditions of parole for Mr. McCrimmon. Mr. McCrimmon, we're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing, sir. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board as we come up on a conclusion of your hearing?
No, I'd just like to say, sir, that things that I committed in the past, when I did commit them, I was a young adult at the age of 21. A person's brain isn't fully developed until they're 25. I've learned from my mistakes. I've grown from my mistakes. And I just like to apologize to the board members, my family members, my work, Swisher HVAC, as well as Alongside Ministries, for not coming before this parole board in the brilliant light that I was expecting to. And I know that every setback in life is an opportunity to grow from it. And this setback, I will grow from, and I just better myself as a man from here on out.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir. The board is going to go into discussion. A lot of boards are in discussion, sir. I need you to stay on the phone so you can hear the conversation taking place in the discussion. During the discussion, the board will make a determination whether to deny or grant your parole at this time, okay? So stay on the phone, sir. The board is now going into discussion. We've had the opportunity to hear Mr. McCrimmon along with some of his supporters that are actually here, as well as here from the victim witness advocates who have also testified along with the letter that we received. I would tell you that Mr. McCrimmon was released out on home arrest. He started out on home arrest doing very well. Subsequently, he wound up not following his itinerary and was revoked when he actually went to Tucson. I tell you that the home arrest is just a process, and to see if they're going to follow their directives and do what they're supposed to do while they're out for that period of time that they actually went home arrest was kind of disturbing to me, is that Mr. McCrimmon violated his home arrest and made a statement that if he went back on home arrest, that would just be setting him up for failure. And I can't see putting him on anything other than home arrest and not giving him parole if he didn't follow through on all his activities that he should have done on his home arrest. If he would have done that, then he would have been able to come back before this board in 6 months or so, and the board would then look at removing him off of home arrest and putting him on regular parole. So based on the information we have, and greatly based on Mr. McCrimmon's own statement about what home arrest, and that would be a problem for him, that he wouldn't be able to do it. I just do not see at this time releasing Mr. McCrimmon back out on a home arrest status, and I'm definitely not supportive of regular parole or an absolute discharge. That's my opinion at this time, and I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Well, this case is just tragic on so many levels because Mr. McCrimmon seems like a great guy. I mean, he seems like someone who could, making the correct choices, follow along. But for me, the testimony from Ms. Bennett and the letter from Mr. Gee is very compelling. And I agree with you. He's had a chance very recently and wasn't able to comply.
So,
I agree with you, sir.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, there are no other comments come from the board. I'm going to make a motion to deny Mr. Crennan home arrest, absolute discharge, or regular parole. I am also going to ask for a one-year set-out since this happened in 1992.
I'll second.
Agreed. All right, motion by myself. Second by Ms. Rittenhouse, agree, Mr. Ewing, Mr. Quinones, Dr. Wiley. As for the 1 year set out, type of release denied is a 412A, 411 home arrest. Reason for denial is that it was a serious, I'm going to mark it as a serious and violent offense, loss of human life. There were multiple victims. We marked it as violated previous parole or home arrest. Mark his prior criminal history. I'm not going to mark poor institutional behavior because since he's been back in, he hasn't had a problem. I'm not going to mark lack of program. I'm not going to mark for it in our release plan, and it does have community and family support, so I'm not going to mark any of those. That's going to be my reasons. Mr. McCrimmon?
Yes, sir.
So you heard the conversation taking place amongst the board. The board has voted to deny your home arrest, absolute discharge, or regular parole. Did you hear the reasons for the denial, sir?
Yes.
Okay. So that is going to conclude your hearing at this time, sir. We did mark for a one-year setup. So within about another year, you will be certified by the Department of Corrections to come back before this board. That's going to...
Excuse me, sir. You said in a year?
Yes, sir.
I thought it was every 6 months under the law that I'm under the sentence that I was under. I'm under 65%. I got sentenced before 94, before January of 94.
No, it's 84, sir. You got sentenced in 92.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's 84. So you have 6 months, but the board can ask for a one-year set off after 1984. If you were sentenced 1984, it's 6 months, but the board has the authority to ask for a one-year set off, and we've asked for a one-year set off. We reckon. So you have a year before you come back before this board, sir.
All right, thank you. I'm blessed.
You too, sir. Thank you.